Welcome to Deep Dive MKE, a podcast that explores how City on a Hill is transforming communities and families worldwide. Join us as we dive deep into conversations with individuals who understand the journey out of generational poverty and its trauma. I'm your host, Art Serna. Let's dive deep. Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you to this exciting episode of the Deep Dive MKE podcast. I'm your host, Art Serna, CEO of City on a Hill, where we are about transforming cities and families so that we see a world in our very near future where every child, every family can thrive and achieve their version of the American dream. So we are excited to talk about a topic that's very dear to my heart. If you don't know, I've got an astronomy background as an undergrad, and then I have got a master's in management of technology startups. So the impact of technology to impacting the future communities is very, very dear to my heart. And in the work that we do at City on a Hill, we do some of that through our youth entrepreneurship accelerator. We call it the Yeah Workshops. And so today I've got a very special guest that I've learned in my journey of leadership. And so I want to tell you a little bit about him before we go to him. So it's good to see my friend Elijah Lowe here with the Deep Dive MKE podcast. So Elijah Lowe is the author of an Amazon best-selling book, Navigating AI with Faith. And he's an accomplished strategy consultant specializing both in private and public sector clients. He boasts a diverse client base in the U.S., Australia, Asia, and he offers astute strategy development guidance in a variety of topics. We've dialogued about different ways City on a Hill can contribute value to cities like Milwaukee, but his true passion really lies in the transformation of cities and communities, and he focuses on enhancing the quality of life of residents in every nation that he provides consulting for. So I love that he has a grasp and an understanding of economic models that bring revolutionary change to communities, and hence why I invited him to the Deep Dive MKE podcast, where we focus on going deep about topics that matter in empowering individuals, families, neighborhoods, and cities in their journey of transformation. We believe that it requires economic development. So without further ado, Elijah, welcome to the Deep Dive MKE podcast, friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for this opportunity. This is going to be a great conversation.
Absolutely. I mean, every day I hear something new about AI. And so I've been excited about joining you in this podcast, given you've written your book and elaborate on that. Before we get too deep, Elijah, I want to give our audience some understanding. How is Wisconsin a part of your story? And then we'll dive into more about the book and how you got there. But how is Wisconsin a part of your family's life and journey?
Wisconsin was really the first place I landed when I moved to the U.S. I came here for schooling and I went to UW. Later, I married my wife. She's from Wisconsin. She was born and raised in Wisconsin. I had my daughter in Wisconsin as well. So I would say half my family's in Wisconsin. So Wisconsin is pretty much home for me.
Wow. So you got more connections to Wisconsin than I do as an early kind of new move in here. Been here 3 years. So I've heard the story since I've known you in our time back in Texas that you're a bit of an overachiever. So in terms of like, you've got a triple major or something to that effect. Am I correct?
Yeah, I did a triple major at UW and I did it in 3.5 years. So yeah, so a little, I think it was a little bit of overachiever, be like a little bit of an understatement. There was one particular semester I remember, I took so many credits, they had to get a special permission from the dean because they've never seen anyone take that many credits before in a single semester.
Oh my gosh. So what were the focus on? I just want to get some people to know you a little bit more. What were the various focus areas when you got your degrees?
So my first major was in finance, investment, and banking. That's where I really had a good grounding in economics. My second one was in marketing. And my third one was in management and human resource. And I did all three with a specialization in international business. At the same time, I was working for a research facility at UW. And we were evaluating the latest technology and providing reports and consult for the White House. So that was my exposure to technology that was going to come in a few years time and begin to evaluate those and write reports for those.
Wow. So how did you get, Elijah, from that point in getting your triple major and writing a book on the topic as I guess some people would call cutting edge, as artificial intelligence or AI and the transformation of communities towards a prosperous future. So how did you get to that point where you would have enough knowledge to write a book about it? Where some people are just trying to grapple with, like, what is this thing? You wrote a book about it. So what was your journey to get from there to this point now?
So always deeply passionate about technology, always being on the cutting edge. And I think I did a lot of consulting work in when I got out of school, you know, for the Fortune 100 companies, for some of the largest companies in South Africa, in Asia as well. Ended up developing economic plans around technology. I was writing economic blueprints for government to navigate new technology and to build entire cities around it. And so I have got a good understanding, you know, of the direction of technology and its impact for the economy. And so I was giving a talk, you know, on the economy and this year, and a lot of people were worried about some of the international implications to the U.S. economy and the U.S. dollar. And I was trying to remind them that, yes, there will be implications, but it's not going to be as large as what AI is going to do to the economy. And everyone in the room was like, you know, shocked. And they were like, what AI? You know, it's like no one ever told us that AI was going to have such a dramatic impact on the economy. And I'm like, yes, it's coming, you know, you guys need to prepare for it. And that kind of led me down the path of writing a book, because, you know, there were so many people that really needed to hear about this and to prepare their communities for what's coming.
And did you get a sense that it was like kind of a deer in the headlights moment for people? Like they didn't quite like understand or agree with the urgency that you were trying to convey that like in terms of the economic impact that this had big implications for their lives, at least at that conference?
Yeah. I think the, you know, people kind of know the back of their head that technology is going to change things, but they don't understand in concrete terms, you know, what's coming. Okay. And so let me point to you some facts to just bring the, and usually these facts usually have a kind of a impact on people where it becomes real for them. So I tell people that, you know, Goldman Sachs came out with a report that they're estimating that AI is going to eliminate 300 million full-time jobs, you know, and just put that into perspective. Okay. In the Great Depression, at the very height of Great Depression, our best estimate is that globally we lost 60 million jobs. So we are talking about five times the worst of the Great Depression. Okay. And that's Goldman Sachs estimate, which at the moment in the market, I think is one of the lower estimates of the number of jobs that's going to be lost. And when you put that into perspective, and all this is going to happen over the next few years, you know, I think that's when it becomes real for people, you know. So I ask people to look around themselves, you know, think of five people in your head. Okay. One of them is going to lose their job to AI in the next 3.5 years.
Let's think into that a little bit more, Elijah. Yeah, when you think about, so why we're having this conversation for us at City and Hill, the Deep Dive MK podcast, is we talk about the transformation of cities, because families that are trying to come through and out of poverty, generational poverty, chronic poverty, you have the argument of individuals saying, well, there's individual solutions at the individual level, but also systemic level. And why are things the way they are in the trajectory of cities? So I think for us, this is a systemic type of component, and solutions have to get to the level of systemic issues. And in the future of cities, correlate to the experience of a child growing up in a context, right? So the future of cities is important to discussion for what we do in the mission of City on a Hill. And so anything that is going to impact the economic development of neighborhoods and cities, I think matters. It is up for discussion. And hence, we invited you to come here, because we at City on a Hill are trying to build through our youth center and youth center and family center of excellence, the skills that families need to navigate the future, to have the skills, the knowledge, the ability to create bigger income streams into their household so they have agency, right, to care for their health, to make decisions about schooling, where they want to live. I think that sometimes institutions fail, and individuals and families at the ground level need better options. So I think that's why this is in scope, having this conversation. So when you talk about AI and the audiences that you're talking to with the launch of your book, you're in different podcasts, you're going to national conferences, you may be traveling overseas to talk to faith communities and government officials and business leaders. Can you elaborate more on the main challenges you see and opportunities when you're getting in front of audiences? Where are they getting stuck in this? Is the conversation about AI and their impact to their bottom line or their daily life? What are the challenges you're seeing with people being able to actually have a conversation about these topics?
I think first we have to have some understanding of what AI is, you know, to have that conversation. I think people come into the conversation with different ideas of what AI is, you know, and for most people, they get their ideas from movies. And so when you talk about artificial intelligence, the first thing that comes to mind is an Android, you know, or a robot, you know.
Tesla robot or Terminator, the movie.
Or Terminator, right. But that's not necessarily the case because, you know, if you have that perception, then you totally, you know, don't see what's happening in the world because it's not in that form yet, okay? So the best way to think about AI is the mind to humans as to what it is for technology. So it's the mind of the technology. You know, it's not the brains, it's not the hardware, you know, it's not the hands and legs, it's the mind. Okay, so the way the mind is for humans, that's what AI is for technology. Okay, so it's the...
So let me stop you there. So real quick, so there's an aspect of awareness and there's a debate whether like the Google AI has awareness or not. So that's what you're talking about in terms of mind, right? There's some aspect of self-awareness and knowledge.
Absolutely. That's where everyone's going with it. Okay. No one has come out and admitted that their AI has consciousness yet, but everyone's working towards an AI that has consciousness. Okay. And I think ChatGPT was the first AI that, you know, that kind of captured the public imagination because it looks like it's really, really close to consciousness, you know? And so that's kind of sparked this entire race to build an AI that is conscious. And that's what everyone's racing for right now.
So I think you've studied this for a number of years where people, I think for some of us, maybe that didn't come into the mainstream until like October, November of last year when OpenAI as a company comes out with this tool, ChatGPT. And that I think most of us would know that now, I think, to like what it can do. And it really brought it to the mainstream dinner table conversation, ChatGPT and what it can do. Can you kind of help for maybe if there's a reader or listener here to the podcast that doesn't know what ChatGPT is and the type of AI that it is at this current stage? Can you kind of put it in layman's terms? What is ChatGPT and what can it do?
So ChatGPT is essentially an AI that talks to humans. Okay, so think about it as a chatbot or friend that you talk to. What makes ChatGPT unique and inspired the whole AI revolution is that it's really intelligent, okay? Because it's been trained on all the information in Wikipedia and half of all information on the internet. But more importantly, it understands context, you know? And so because of that, it's able to sound very, very human. And it's able to produce a lot of output that's actually very valuable and very relevant, okay? For example, you know, and this is the output that you need to understand that makes a world of difference for companies, for people, for parents and all that. For example, one of my friend, you know, he's a solopreneur and meaning that, you know, he got laid off from his corporate job and he's studying his own business, right? But he doesn't know much about technology, but he's very good in the product that he's making and he's trying to sell. It's a very niche product. And I started encouraging him to sell on Amazon and he's like, I know nothing about selling on Amazon. I know this product really well, but I have no clue where to begin on Amazon. So I did a demonstration for him. I'm like, watch this. And I went to ChatGPT and I said, how do I sell my product on Amazon? And he gave me step by step and he was shocked. And he's like, okay, look at step number three. He says, I need to enter all this product description. I'm not a marketing person. I have no idea how to do all that information. So I told ChatGPT, you know, write a product description for this product and describe the product. And ChatGPT within seconds produced a description that he could plug in into Amazon and start selling his product. You know, prior to AI, these would have taken days of work, maybe hiring multiple people to do different parts of it. And now he could do everything in under an hour. And that's the productivity increase that we're seeing with AI for someone who knows very little about technology. Okay. You can just go to ChatGPT, and as long as you know how to type questions, he can immediately be productive 10 times, 20 times what he was before AI. And this is the thing that we can bring to communities. We can allow them to leapfrog. You know, they do not have to understand a lot about technology. They can use AI and immediately see very productive results.
Well, let's just, you said a lot there. So the concept of leapfrogging, I think some of the urgency and the type of work and the mission that we care about is City on a Hill and the transformative reduction of childhood poverty in communities, there is an urgency to it. And at times, a lot of our civic institutions can't quite change or adapt fast enough, higher ed, K-12, to meet the need that is in front of them. Like for example, the COVID was such a disruption. It was very, very challenging to change a large system. and ensure that there wasn't large gaps of learning for students. So there is an urgency at the level, the families that we serve, that they're needing faster ways to scale learning, to accelerate learning, to learn a skill that's going to create value for themselves quickly. And so when institutions can't do that, there's a loss of trust in institutions. What I'm hearing you say, though, is that technology like ChatGPT and AI, as it becomes even stronger, could provide individuals access to quickly achieving their dreams in maybe ways that they couldn't otherwise, because they couldn't afford a consultant, right? Or a marketing team, that they could see those side ideas that have sat in their shelves for a very long time, or develop a skill. I guess like the Matrix or Neo concept, right? That learning happened fast, but you could do that with something like ChatGPT. So what do you think is the, because we're trying to prepare young people for the jobs of the future now. And if their schools are not doing an effective job doing that, then how could we come alongside their families to do that? So I think what you're saying is that tools like AI could empower and accelerate that process much more quickly. So what are sectors? Can you say a little bit more about sectors? Because we're preparing young people for jobs that maybe don't exist right now. And we want them to have the skills to be able to navigate in that world, because we already know that. I think I've heard you say before, the ship has sailed. Like, AI is here to stay. And maybe we're, some of us are saying it's going to take a long time to change, but I think we're seeing almost like weekly change in a variety of factors. What are the sectors that you think are going to be most impacted that we should keep in mind? We talk a lot about healthcare at City Hill just because we're the site of the former Milwaukee Hospital. It's the largest employer, or one of the largest in Wisconsin. So how should industries be thinking about AI? What are you thinking? Help us see a little bit into the future as we think about equipping families and young people to deal with that future that's coming really, really fast.
So I think society is going to go through two phases, okay, of changes. And so we're the communities for these two different phases, okay? Phase one is that organizations, companies are going to replace all their employees that they have now with employees who can work with AI, okay? So coming back to the example, of a simple example of job or product description on Amazon, okay? Any company that is hiring people to write product description for Amazon is going to realize that their employees who use ChatGPT to write those product description can do it in a few minutes, versus the ones who don't would have to take a few hours to do it. Okay. That productivity difference is what's going to drive the first societal change. And so a lot of people that do not know how to work with AI, it's going to be replaced by employees who can't use AI because their productivity is 100 times, 200 times, 300 times, you know, that of someone who doesn't. Okay. Let's talk about the healthcare space. The healthcare space is projected right now to be one of the industries that's going to receive the most amount of disruption. Okay. And I also use that as an example to show you how widespread the AI is going to impact our economy, that even some of the most educated, highest requirement jobs are going to be impacted by AI. And then from there, you can see the implication all the way down to the lower level jobs. Okay, so that's not going to be a single industry that I think that is going to not be affected by AI. Basically, any industry that use labor that requires any form of thinking, you know, is going to be impacted by AI. Okay, and let's take the healthcare for example. Okay, one of the hardest jobs in healthcare is really to be a physician. And especially if you're a specialist like a radiologist, it takes a long time to be educated. It requires a lot of achievement even to get to a place where you can be trained to be a radiologist. And right now we have AI algorithms that can outperform humans, you know, as a radiologist. The FDA in January alone this year just approved 400 different AI algorithms to replace radiologists. You know, my friends who have been getting x-rays are already seeing credit at the bottom of the x-rays to AI agents that have been coming up with the x-ray reports. So you got to ask yourself, if radiologists that require so much education and technical training can be replaced by AI, what jobs that require thinking cannot be replaced by AI? And I'll give you an example of a very different kind of job. You know, example, fast food order taking over the drive-thru. Okay, they're already rolling out AI to replace those jobs as well. So it's going to impact every single industry. And so the first phase is to prepare the community, is to begin to equip them to use AI, because that is going to be the first phase of the change that's going to take place. Companies are going to hire people that can do the same job with AI, you know, because they're going to be so much more productive. And then the second phase that's going to come is when they're going to use people to train the AI. They're going to work alongside the AI. Then they're going to what we call reinforced learning. They're going to tell the AI what it got right and what it got wrong. And over time, the AI will be good enough that they don't need to work alongside humans. They can work on their own. And then at that point, they're going to lay off the people that were trained to work with AI and replace them fully with AI. So it's going to go in two phases like this. And I think where City on the Hill needs to position itself to help the community leapfrog ahead of these changes that are taking place, it's first equip everyone with the ability to use AI in their work, in their home, at school, as phase one. And then as phase two, begin to build business incubators that would then come up with a whole new range of innovative business for an AI world that is going to unlock a new range of jobs and employment that we don't already have.
So we like to talk about, Elijah, the community of transformation and what that looks like when you look at just historical change in communities of color, urban communities, is re-strengthening the family unit as a way of mentorship, but also family-to-family connection that breaks down segregation across geographies and helps people unite and work together. So I love a lot of what you're saying in the context of what we're trying to do at City on a Hill. It empower people to really build communities from the ground up and give them the assets, the knowledge quickly that they can make the key decisions about how they want to rebuild back their community. I do believe that the type of work we're trying to do requires an economic engine. So I do believe that to reestablish communities, you need ways to build economies down at the ground level. And so the concept of what you just said about business incubators, there's a lot of great people in Milwaukee trying to build commercial corridors, building small businesses, entrepreneurs. Some of the context I'm gaining from you is that you're making the argument, your thesis is some of those future businesses should have a foundation on technology and specifically AI and how to leverage that new tool into their business plan, right? Like develop the skill of how their employees are going to be able to triumph, build a competency. So that's, I think, important to learn. Let me ask you this question, though. I hear this argument around ethics, right? The ethical aspect of AI. How do you know what's actually authentic? And so how does one balance the rapid advancements of AI with principles and values and ethics? What is your recommendation? What are you hearing from people like in the writing of your book? What has come up? How do we do that?
So everyone's very concerned about all the negative things that it's going to come out of AI. Things like the White House mentioning, you know, deep fake. That's something that they're really worried about, scams and all this. But I think that the way AI technology is progressing so fast that legislation cannot keep up with it. Okay, by the time you come out with legislation to prevent one kind of AI, it's already gone so far ahead that the legislation is so far behind. And so there's the two possible outcomes, okay? We can either look at it through eyes of fear and try to avoid AI because of a lot of very bad ethical possible outcomes. In a world like that, if the good people avoid AI, then the only people that is going to advance the technology is going to be bad actors, the scammers, the thieves. And to me, that is going to be an even worse outcome. So the other option would be to begin to equip good people to use AI so that there's a counterbalance to the bad actors who are using AI. And when good people use the AI, they will figure out ways to come up with more security measures, to come up with more safeguards, ways to count the bad actors who are using AI. So hence, we really need, from an ethical standpoint, it is our moral imperative to equip good people with the best AI tools and to encourage them to further this development and stay ahead of the bad actors who are also developing AI tools.
You know, I was just talking earlier today with one of the residents here in our neighborhood, and we were just talking about the state of Milwaukee and the history of realities that some individuals in our community have faced. And she was talking about lack of opportunity, right? Like it may not be equally accessible to everyone, opportunity at least, right? The potential to do great things could be, but not opportunity access. And so she was just talking about the fact that there's a lot of creative people or people that just have creativity or talents that have never been harnessed. And what would be the potential for a country like America, right, with IP protections, if like, what would be the gain if more people that maybe were marginalized historically could up their game, right? Because they have the tools to bring their creativity to fold, new inventions, new innovations. But a lot of times access to education or tools at a price point that they can afford hasn't been available. But it sounds like, I think ChatGPT, I think their premium product is what, 20 a month or something? 10, 20 a month? It's very, very accessible. I'm sure there's plenty of hundreds of others by now. So we are thinking to things like you're saying, how do we equip individuals to gain this skill quickly, to build communities, not to destroy communities, not to scam, not to take advantage, not to create bad content. But I think you're making the case that this is already normalized. I think about Google. Google wasn't a thing at one point. Now we use Google as a verb. Googling, it's part of the culture now. And many of our young people, families have smartphones. And the aspect of the habit of searching for something in a Google bar and getting something back has become so much part of our experience now in the 21st century. What could be possible with AI to equip people to use that tool in their day-to-day life to create new businesses? I think that's the potential. Would you agree?
Absolutely agree. And that's why I see, you know, there's a lot of potential for City on a Hill to build an incubator, to have an AI-centric program that teach people to build businesses from the ground up on AI, you know, using AI to leapfrog all the traditional and even the internet way of building business. And you're absolutely right. There is definitely a gap between some communities and other communities. Okay, so I'm going to give you an example of the pre-AI days and the post-AI days on how this gap could be closed by leapfrogging. Okay, so pre-AI, I'm going to give you two examples, okay, of two kids from two different families. Okay, a kid from a family who don't have access or the wealth to have access to consultants. Okay, so a kid has an idea and he's going to have to figure out on his own, you know, how do I bring this idea to market? Okay, he can do a ton of research. He can go to the public library. He can talk to people around him and he may or may not get good advice. Okay, and he's going to learn through a lot of trial and errors and his failure rate is going to be pretty high. Okay, for him to bring his idea to market compared to another kid who grew up in a different family whose father was extremely wealthy and the father already had close to his business dealing already have a team of consultants, everything from legal, finance to market research consultants and all that, and gives that access to his kid, and that kid can go to these consultants and, you know, within a short period of time they can help adjust his ideas to make it have a higher success rate in the market. Okay, which kid do you think has a better chance of being successful in business? Okay, that this is the pre-AI days. And so that we all recognize that there is a gap in terms of the chance of bringing the ideas to market. In a post-AI world, these two kids will still exist, but now there's going to be a third kid, okay, from a family that may not have the resources for consultants, but they know how to access AI. And so now AI can be this kid's consultant, okay? And in fact, the AI can do a better job than the second family with human consultants because the AI knows even more than the human consultant. So the advice that this AI can give this kid in terms of everything from ideation to protecting his idea to bringing it to market would be so much more sophisticated than even the second family. And here's the great part, Art. This AI is going to cost a fraction of the cost, okay, of what you pay human consultants. And they do it at 100 times, 200 times the speed. They can do it in minutes versus some of these consultants might take a couple of days, maybe weeks to come up with the insight.
Well, let me say this from an educational perspective. We obviously work with a lot of schools. Some schools do a great job. Some schools not so much to educate children for the future. But what are you hearing in terms of the experience of schools of like whether it's higher ed or K-12, like clamping down, like no AI? Have you read up on anything like that? Are schools navigating that experience? And what are they learning? Have they changed their mind on anything since the ChatGPT thing in late 2022 is moving so fast? So what are you hearing about that?
So I'm going to bring out two very important insights about AI and education. Okay, so when ChatGPT was launched in November 2022, okay, within a month, schools started to panic, like full-on panic, because they realized that if they were to assign any form of essay homework to the students and they brought back their homework, the teachers would not be able to tell the difference between a homework that was done by an AI versus a homework that was done by a human. So our knee-jerk reaction, you know, it began to polarize the education community, and a lot of them decided to ban AI in the schools. Okay, one of them was the was New York, then it was California, and there were a lot of other school boards around the country too that appealed to ban AI.
Okay.
Within 6 months, some of these school boards have started reversing the ban.
Okay.
And they're saying, no, we're going to reverse it, and we're going to, in fact, encourage all our kids to use AI. And it's not, what's interesting, not so much on the reversal. What's interesting is about, it's really the reason for the reversal. And the reason is quite interesting, because what they realized within a span of 6 months, the kids who followed the ban, that means who did not use AI at all, was actually lagging behind in terms of their achievements and their understanding of the material compared to the kids who continued to use AI at home, even though it was banned in school. And they realized that the outcome was a widening of the education gap. And they realized they had to very quickly reverse that, otherwise the gap is going to widen very quickly, because within 6 months alone, we already have very obvious gaps between those who followed the ban and those who didn't. So that's one. The second thing we are seeing is that, as you know, from academic research, we've already got enough data to show that kids who got one-on-one tutoring do significantly better than those who don't, right? So, but the problem is that usually it's only the wealthy that can afford that one-on-one tutoring. Now, what's interesting is that AI can actually potentially perform as good or better than one-on-one tutoring. And at
it being a learning partner cost. To an individual.
Exactly. Being a learning partner to kids. And so all of a sudden, it becomes an equalizer that even though you're a family that cannot afford one-on-one tutoring, all you need is access to an AI. And all of a sudden, your kid would have the same access or better than someone with one-on-one tutoring. And so this is what's happening in the field of education. And that's why, depending on how parents understand this and how fast they move, it could make a big difference for their kids in terms of education and understanding.
Yeah. So as we work with our family mobility program, it's our biggest biggest programmatic launch effort that we've done in our recent past at City on Hill. And how do we come alongside families and identify very personalized plans to move through and out of poverty? AI poses it's something we cannot ignore, but look at and explore. How could we leverage it and maximize the impact we can have alongside families? And then also, I know you're working on various concepts with a global leadership network, given that since the launch of the book, I hear that you're already working on a second one already. But bringing some of this learning to institutions like City on a Hill and businesses, how they can leverage the best of AI in building, in our case, a business incubator that can launch some of these ideas that families have for like a family business, and that could define their future and create income for them, even if just a skill, right, to better operate as an informed citizen in the 21st century and bring the best of what America has to offer in our case, given it being in Wisconsin. Elijah, I'll give you the last word as we kind of launch this plane for now. I would love to have you on the show again as you begin to talk about your book and see what you're seeing. I know this is changing really, really fast, but we're excited to work with your team here in the fall of 2023 to explore what we can do given the asset of this facility we have. If from an educational mentoring approach, how do we incubate a business incubator for families that are supercharging their path towards economic mobility, leveraging the power of AI? I imagine for us, it's the component of mentoring, of like having marketing, business development, business strategy, operational know-how, data, crunching data on market analysis. All of those things could be done by an AI consultant, I guess I would say, but also you provide with your team more of like the personal stuff that AI maybe has a hard time to do right now. So I'm excited to explore this with your team, this concept, and see what we can do together. What would you say, what would you hope would be true if people really take you up on this and start operating in terms of the future of cities and nations? What would you think would be possible if people said, yes, Elijah, we're going to go on this journey with you? I'll give you that last word.
So I want you to imagine this for a moment with me. Okay, imagine that if City on a Hill did this, okay, we could have a co-working space that consists of an entire floor of a building where we build a community of innovators, okay? And on this platform, we're going to have mentoring by some really good business leaders teaching our participants to build companies as an AI-centric business, leapfrogging the computer revolution, leapfrogging the internet revolution. And right out of the gate, these companies are all built on AI. That's going to be the first pillar. The second pillar that this incubator could provide is actually a customized AI consultant specialized in helping you build an AI business. So in addition to having people with experience, you're going to have an AI that is extremely knowledgeable on business startups, consulting you and being part of your startup team for your company. And then the third thing that this incubator can provide is seed funding for you so that you have capital if your idea is very viable. And these seed funds could have investors from all around the world participating in it to fund your idea. And the fourth thing that this incubator is going to do is to provide you an international platform so that, you know what, you may have a really great idea, but maybe the market for Milwaukee is not that big for that idea. Maybe that idea really works better in Brazil. And with our partner incubators in Brazil, we can help bring that idea to Brazil and market it there, you know, as being part of this platform. So I want you to just imagine the power of an incubator like that in Milwaukee, serving the community that allows them to absolutely leapfrog and not build another YouTube and not build another Uber and not build another Netflix, but build the equivalent of those for an AI world. So I want to leave you with that. Just think about the potential of that.
Well, that's all I have to think about. I know there's very incredible business incubators, co-working spaces in Milwaukee already. I think what excites me is that for us in our educational programmatic level, we would be making that offering available to individuals that typically would never enter the doors of a typical incubator. And that's what's exciting to me, given from marginalized communities with backgrounds that people wouldn't take a second look sometimes, just the dynamics and the reality of what the world is as is, but it's not going to be like that. And so I'm excited to do that. Elijah, thank you for coming on this podcast. Thank you for making time out of your schedule since you're out talking about marketing your book. I do encourage everyone to, one, thank you for coming along, my friend. I encourage everyone to go to Amazon and look for Elijah Lowe, Navigating AI with Faith, and read up on this book. And I look forward to sharing more about this innovative, exclusive, one-of-a-kind incubator that we're going to build alongside this global network of other incubators that are come online to explore this journey. I think it's up to us. We have a moral imperative to say, why not? Why not explore it if we can empower individuals that have not been empowered in the past to really define their future and achieve the American dream? So we're going to be doing that. At least stay tuned for how you can spread the word and apply to be part as a upcoming entrepreneur to learn about these skills that you heard on this podcast. If you are not subscribed to the City on a Hill newsletter, I encourage you to go to our homepage at cityonahillmke.org. Go to the bottom, give us your contact information so that you can stay up to date about what we're doing. Thank you for listening to the Deep Dive MKE podcast. Until the next time, stay courageous. Thank you.
Thanks for your time and attention. Through the inspiring stories of courage, wisdom, generosity, and joy, we demonstrate how City on a Hill and our network is advancing justice and working towards a world free from poverty. This work highlights the cultural pillars of City on a Hill: loving, listening, learning, and leading. We can't do what we do without you. Remember to join the email list to stay in the loop on the important work City on a Hill is doing in your community. Till our next dive, stay courageous.